welcome to another episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by EEJournal.com. I'm Amelia Dalton, and we've heard it all before, right? Do more with less. Build a bigger design in half the time with half the resources. Oh, and learn a new process node while you're at it, okay? And I'll need that report by Monday. Sound about right? The struggle is real, my friends. Your job is getting harder. And I probably don't need to tell you that, right? My guest this week is Andy Potemsky from Synopsys. And we're talking about productivity and bridging that gap. You know the one. That void between the full capacity of that chip design you're working on and how much work you can possibly do. With a little help from caffeine, sugar, and the occasional pizza run, of course. Check it out. My guest today is Andy Potemsky from Synopsys. Thank you so much for joining me, Andy.
Thank you for having me.
So first off, tell me, what is Lynx Design System all about?
Sure. The Lynx Design System, think of it this way. It's an automation platform focused on supporting design engineers. So that my target audience is designers. You think of the word system, so it must be comprised of multiple things. The Lynx Design System is comprised of three fundamental components. We have an automation cockpit that we call the Runtime Manager. So that's kind of a design environment, a flow editor, an execution monitor, a kind of a debug environment, something a little bit more sophisticated than just a Unix script and a make file or something like that. We also have a component called the Design Tracker. So the Design Tracker is all about making reporting easier for designers. Ask any design engineer if he enjoys spending 2, 3, 4 hours a week pulling data out of all of his work to report up to management. If that can be one click, two clicks, available as a shell in Unix or on the web, the designer is really happy. The third component of Lynx are the flows. So we have a very modular architecture where we call them Lynx technology plugins. There are different kind of flows that can plug into the Lynx infrastructure. So those three things comprise what we feel is a very flexible, productive design environment for engineers.
Okay. So, Andy, let's talk about challenges, trends. What kinds of challenges and trends do you think are motivating customers or other engineers to consider Lynx?
We're focused predominantly on productivity. And the reason we're focused on productivity is if you follow any of the industry trend type of reports, there's lots of them out there in industry. One of them we've quoted in some of our materials is from IBS. They do an exhaustive SOC study to look at what are all of the trends and challenges. One of their data outputs is what they call a productivity gap. It basically shows that the capacity of what you can put on a chip slopes up faster than what design engineers can actually produce. And that kind of a theoretical thing that they call the productivity gap. But the designers I talk to, it's very real. I don't know a single designer that I talk to lately that says his job's getting any easier. It's pretty much every year getting harder. As that chip capacity grows faster than their ability to produce the content of the chip, they're looking for ways to boost their productivity. They're also finding that, you know, it's kind of a relentless crush on them to do more with less. It's like, okay, now we're going to get into IoT. You need to make this chip in half the time with half the resources. How are they going to do that? Oh, and by the way, you're going to move to this new technology node. So it's a combination of all of these things. Shrinking resources, tools that are new, harder to use, or at least you need to learn how to use them. New technology nodes, shorter schedules, fewer people, and then maybe even having to spread that work around globally. You know, half the teams maybe in India, half the teams in Europe or US or China. How are we going to get all of that work done in a coordinated fashion? So those are a lot of the industry trends and sort of challenges that we see that are actually prompting people to take a look at Lynx to say, is there something you have to offer that could help us do that?
So let's talk about the capabilities in particular of Lynx that help address these challenges.
That's a really good question. And I'm not a marketing guy. I'm an engineer. But what I've learned is the best way to answer that kind of question is actually ask people who have been using Lynx, have they successfully been able to apply it to improve their productivity? And that kind of is a good feedback for me that, in fact, are we delivering any capabilities that really address those challenges? So without using customer names, don't want to get any trouble with the customers, Let me share with you a few examples, and I think it articulates some of the capabilities of Lynx. I've got one customer that's adopted Lynx, I'd say in an enterprise capacity, in the sense the number of licenses and the number of design engineers in that company that are using Lynx. Multiple chips, multiple design groups. What they tell me is that they realized Lynx is not just a nice, pretty GUI layered on top of scripts. In fact, the way we architected Lynx between the runtime manager, the design tracker, and the technology plugin flows, they see it as a very cohesive system. Those systems communicate with one another internally. They link back and forth. The execution engine links to the reporting. The execution engine links to the flow editing. So that sort of cohesive system, in fact, brings a level of productivity, getting things done. Design engineers are constantly iterating to get designs done. The first time through, it never works. You have to tune the design to get the timing that you want, or get the power that you want, or get rid of all the physical design errors. That iteration process, if you deliver a system to them where those components are cohesively connected, that's real value. So that was one specific capability that Lynx offers. Another customer example is what we call a consistent design environment. Again, I would term this in the form of an enterprise deployment of Lynx. What the customer has told me is many different design projects where they need to move the engineers across those different design projects. Lynx delivers a very consistent design environment. So if the engineers learn how to use Lynx and are delivering on one project, they can be easily moved over to the other project. So it's sort of a resource balancing problem that that customer has, but having a very consistent design environment as opposed to each individual project team sort of taking their own ad hoc approach. So sort of consistent environment would be another key capability of Lynx. We hear from several of our customers. In particular, we have some big customers in Japan. They're very focused on reporting. They're looking for both detailed reports at the engineer level, but management in these companies is constantly looking for very detailed roll-ups of the project status. So the design tracker capability inside of Lynx, they've told us, is a key differentiator. It's one of the reasons why they've invested in Lynx. And so it's helping them with that problem. I think one other capability is inside of Lynx, we have in the runtime manager, we have a thing called the flow editor where you can customize the flow. And we've put some rather unique, we feel unique flow constructs in the flow editor so that you can do things like make decisions in your design flow, multiplexers to go down different paths, or generators to branch out and produce lots of different parallel paths. And design engineers often have to do design exploration. So they find that the features inside of Lynx, in particular our flow editor, are really differentiating for doing what they refer to as design exploration. And that helps them speed that process up. So that'd be about four or five examples.
So Andy, let's talk about new applications. Where do you think Lynx could help my fellow designers in the new applications they're working on?
Walking across the DAC floor this year, I see two prominent themes standing out everywhere in the signage. One is IoT and the other is automotive. Maybe you could see some overlap between those two. In the area of automotive, we've been looking at and sharing a concept diagram with our customers showing how some of the key challenges that one faces with automotive, this need to adhere to a ISO standard 26262, is asking design teams to do some things that are unique that they haven't done before. They have to have traceability of how they built, implemented, and verified everything in the chip. They have to extensively document everything about the design flow. Well, Synopsys has some key tool technologies that solve the automotive challenge. If you bring those tools into a design flow in Lynx and then leverage some of the capabilities in Lynx, the reporting features of Lynx, Design Tracker, and then also another unique feature we have in Lynx we call Auto Doc. We basically, with a push button, you completely document your entire design flow, all of the details of everything that you've created, used to create your chip from an implementation standpoint is automatically documented. So I think automotive is a key emerging area where Lynx could potentially add some value. And then I guess a superset of that would be this whole notion of IoT. What I'm hearing from customers are they need to turn schedules very quickly. Maybe these devices are very low power, smaller devices, and also not emerging technologies, but well-established technologies like 28 or 40 or 65 nanometer, something like that. Lynx has the ability to very easily be portable to many different technology nodes. And I think for an IoT device where the design team is small, the technology node is well-established, and the schedule is tight, Lynx could provide kind of almost a push-button solution for designers in the IoT space.
All right, Andy, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, I know
You race cars in your free time. First question, what do you race? And second, how'd you get into racing cars?
So just to set the story straight, this is actually my rookie year racing. I've been driving for a long time, probably since I was 14. But actually racing, this is my rookie year. My first race was in Mazda Miata. Second race was in a BMW 2002 320i and 328. There was a team of 12 of us racing three cars. Only one finished, unfortunately. I would say it was always my dream to race, and my ultimate goal is to own my own Porsche race car and actually drive in Porsche club events and maybe even something like Pirelli World Challenge or something like that.
Very cool. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Andy.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak with you.
You know what else is difficult? Getting just the right power supply with all the specs you need in that tiny little space you've saved for it. With form factors continuing to shrink, you and I know all too well that it's becoming more and more difficult to pack an efficient power supply into whatever available space we have left on our board. In my most recent episode of Chalk Talk entitled Maxim Integrated's High Efficiency Power Solutions for 24-Volt Plus Systems, I sit down with Suhail Dinani from Maxim Integrated and talk all about building small, efficient industrial power supplies. And I'm guessing you need a refresher. You can check out this episode of Chalk Talk by clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com, by heading on over to YouTube, keyword eejournal, or by navigating on over to the on-demand section of eejournal.com. Hey, have you checked out eejournal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if Google Plus is your thing, you can also join our circle on Google Plus. We also have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, keyword EEJournal, chock full of all kinds of techie videos, our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series, and our video series called On the Scene. And you can subscribe to our EEJournal YouTube channel as well. I'm just saying. By clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can also grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of July 1st, 2016, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.